CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Yo, hello, hello, hello. What's up? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. And it's another beautiful Wednesday. Yeah, welcome to it. Welcome to it. That was the wonderful sounds of Mkharimbe. You know you love that song. You know you love that song. You know, in fact, what I want to say is that, you know, that, you know, when people say, what's the wedding song? You know, when white folks say the wedding song is Mandoza. No. The wedding song is Mandoza at white weddings. This is the wedding song at pretty much every other wedding you're going to go to. The wretchedness is just going to find you when this song plays. And it's amazing because it doesn't really matter whether it's the bride or whether it's the groom. Everybody just knows exactly how wretched they're allowed to behave when this song plays. So yeah, that's what's up. This is Mkharimbe straight out of Pretoria. You're gonna understand why I played a Pretoria track much later in the show. Because you know Pretoria has its relevance in today's show. But there's a couple of things I want to get out the way first. It's a very strange Wednesday. You know, we can't ignore that horrendous thing that's just happened. That court case that started today about with the guy that got put in the casket, with the guys, the two white guys that were fighting this guy, they put him in the casket. Like what the fuck? You know, like you think that we 22 years into all this shit, and like we would not be dealing with shit like this. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna let it like, you know, dictate the mood of the show, but I just think, what the fuck, guys? And I just read somewhere now that these guys said that they waived their right to bail. Because, you know, I think they just feel unsafe. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to say it. I think it's okay that they feel unsafe. I think it's absolutely fine that they feel unsafe because, you know what? That guy who got put into a coffin, he felt unsafe. In fact, they threatened to pour petrol on this dude and to put snakes in that coffin with him. So, I mean, that's thorough bullshit. But you know what? Yeah, let's not let that irritate us too much today. But I do have a whole lot of good news today, though, as well. There's some stuff that I forgot to mention last week. The Pandorans happened the other day. And, you know, I think at some point we're going to have to start calling this show the Odd Number Show. Because they get mentioned pretty much every fucking week out here. So the guys at Ogilvy and the Odd Number shared their better awards at the Pandorans. So, I mean, you know, we have to give them that. What's up? Shout out Odd Number. Shout out Ogilvy Cats. That's Lou, Spoo. I saw the picture. There was a whole bunch of people on that stage. I think I even saw Sfiso Zondi in that picture. And I think I saw Love More in that picture. No, there were just people on that stage. It was some kind of riot. But yeah, Pandorans, well done, the guys. And I'm sure a whole bunch of people also won a whole bunch of things from a whole bunch of other agencies. Another award show that happened last week, the Promax Awards. I think that's what they're called. Yeah, I think that's the on-air stuff. And I saw a whole bunch of pics on social media as well. I know the guys from DSTV won a lot of stuff. I know the guys at Odd Number, once again, I think won some stuff there. Shout out to the guys, the likes of Musa Musalakai. I saw you guys won some shit out there. Well done at the Promax Awards. And then I saw this other thing as well. You know what I mean? I say other thing like it's not like it's insignificant, but it's actually quite a big award show. And I remember when I started in the industry, it was one of those awards that people kept talking about. But for some reason, there's a prominence thing that's happened where I'm not hearing a lot about it. But I was very happy to hear about the Asagai Awards last week as well. Some people won some things out there. And an agency called Gorilla won Agency of the Year. I mean, I say Gorilla because I'd never heard of them up until now, which is also testament to you know how big this industry is. You know, like I one of the things as well when I started, I used to worry like, so where am I going to get a job? Are there enough brands for us all to advertise? But actually, you know, it turns out there is enough business out there. It's just, you know, whose hands is it in? But that's a whole other conversation. But Gorilla won Agency of the Year. And I've got some quotes here that I'm reading. I'm going to be reading straight from Biz Community. They with a total of 5 brands up for various awards. Gorilla ended the night with 4 golds, 8 silvers, 4 bronze, and 10 leader awards. I mean, there are awards for days in this place, with the highlight being the prestigious Agency of the Year award. And Jordan Wallace, the CEO of Gorilla, says, being named Agency of the Year is a very special honor. I'm incredibly proud of everyone in our jungle. Yeah, in the jungle. And very thankful to our brand partners who have encouraged us to push for brave, creative, and effective work. So well done to you guys. Well done to you Oaks at Gorilla, man. So it'll be cool to get a word from them at some point. We'll see if we can get them on the line. Maybe see if we can chat to someone from Gorilla. Tell us, just get us to know how that went down and what they're up to. But yeah, it's another fantastic week of advertising, and I mean, if you've been on my social networks, if you've been on my Facebook or on my Twitter, I've alluded to who I'm going to be hanging out with today. And you know, advertising, guys, is a very colorful animal. In that you know, you don't know where your lessons for amazing things are going to come from. And also you don't know how many times you're going to see, you know, in your new career in radio, sitting across from you, people who have sat across from you trying to give you a job all that time ago, you know. So in front of me right now, I've got what most people will call, you know, what are the struggle words? Stalwart. Yeah, stalwart of the game. from back in the day, leadership in a lot of ways in the ad game. And in front of me right now, guys, I've got Mr. Ivan Musechi Muroke. How are you? I just said Musechi, that's dope.
Yagrand.
Yeah. And that's the Pretoria link, yo. You heard that, Yagrand. That is straight out of Pretoria. North of the JXK. How are you, Ivan? What's going on?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And it's I'm still trying to get my mind out of how you opened the show with the coffin story. I've got to push that out of my mind and focus on positivity, because it gets your...
It's very interesting, because I was on my way here, I was thinking about that coffin story, and I was like, you know what, it'd be remiss of us to not talk about it. But at the same time, I think, what does it mean for us? Because I mean, this story is still about branding, it's still about advertising, it's still about, you know, it's about perceptions, you know. How is it that like, you know, there are people who feel like, you know, how is that done? What is that done for relations, you know, amongst people, you know? And I was listening to another show on my way in here, and someone called into the show and actually had the audacity to ask, but what did that guy do? You know that laugh. That's the laugh I had, but I almost drove into oncoming traffic, though. Because people say things like that.
There are some times when people say stuff and you can't even answer it, because either you don't have the will or the time or combination of both to say, if I've got to start breaking some of these things down to you, I don't have the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, maybe it's also because of age as well. I mean, before we go on show, we were talking about, I mean, what growing up and as you are growing older, what it does for you. And one of it is like, I don't have time.
I don't actually have the time.
You know, I just don't have time. If I don't have time with my family because of business, because of work, I don't have time for some of these things. But anyway, I think
we digress towards anger. Let's leave anger alone.
but in some way, it's also related to one of the things that I know you're going to ask me about, the good old 14 letter word, square word of transformation in the business. I know it's going to come to that.
Is there many letters in that word?
You're going to ask me, I know.
I am, because you know that's one of the issues that we're trying to, it's one of the things that we're trying to fix, you know, with pretty much with every episode of this show, trying to get, just kind of chip away at, you know, until we find what it is that the consumer solution is going to be, according to pretty much everyone. So we'll get to that.
Good.
So I want you to tell me, though, you know, like today before you came here, you probably were at a place called CoCurrency.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is CoCurrency? Tell me about that. What is CoCurrency? What do you guys do? What are you guys about? Talk to me.
In short, or in a language that you'd understand, being a creative, we are about the work before the work.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
You know, you're always making noise about, it's about the work, about you guys talking about the execution of what you're doing.
Yeah.
We do the work with clients before the brief gets to you. Because, so we are, in short, we are insight and marketing strategy. Why that is important, it actually makes people like you, your job easier. Because if some things are not sorted out beforehand, you start having issues with your clients.
I hear you. Let's fix the wording. It is supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of, I mean when it works, it works.
Absolutely.
If you ask any creative out there, we've all encountered the strategists that have, you know, not necessarily made our jobs easier.
No, listen, and I think there's the other thing, because I think the other problem that we have with our industry, we throw things, ways around, and some people get confused. Strategy. So there's a strategic planner in the ad agency, and then there's a strategist in the game that you are in. That's we don't even do the strategy like what you guys do with your planners inside the agency. We do this thing even way before you. So we create the strategy with the clients, and the clients then brief the agency, and your Comstrat does that. So if you've got some issues or beef with strategies in your agencies, that's another thing. We are, and I've done that before. I've done that before.
This is. Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, you know, this is very interesting, considering you come from that inside, inside the agency. So what does that mean then? Does it mean that the job is done twice? That the strategy job is done twice? It's done before it gets to clients, and then after it gets to clients?
No. Let me break it down easy.
Yeah.
The kind of strategy that we do is not communication strategy.
Okay, it's a
brand strategy. Now remember, a brand is not just about the communication.
Right.
It is the distribution. It is the pricing. It is the people. It is the process and all the stuff. So we engage with clients in doing that. Oh my goodness, I've used the word engage, and we are laughing about this. We are not going to be talking about engaging stakeholders. Yes. I can't believe I used that word.
No, yeah,
so what we do is like, it's so logical. It is like the logic before the magic. So when we do the strategy.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, but when we do the strategy.
My past life. Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Hey, finish, man. Yeah. When we do the strategy, one of the things is we also say, here are the implications for communication, which we take and give it to the planner in the agency, and they do the Comstrat. We don't do communication strategy.
Right,
we look at the brand in totality. There's the difference.
Okay.
Well, I know it can get a bit confusing because we are marketing, we are always coming up with terms to confuse people so that we can charge them more. That's what we do.
I like that. You know, it's like we are being honest with ourselves and each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, that's great. Yeah. And I mean, you say that you were inside the agency.
Yeah.
But tell me how did the idea of this business come about? Because I mean, you say that it's not necessarily the client, well, the agency, an agency function.
Yeah.
But it is your
co-currency. Yeah.
It is also, it's associated with Havas.
Yes.
Right. So what's that relationship like?
No, actually,
about
and. The Havas thing is just a business relationship where they've invested, they've taken a stake in a business, but we operate completely independently. Completely.
Okay.
And you know why I wanted somebody to invest in the business coming up? I didn't want this story of saying, I'm starting off in my dandroom. That's what you call it. I'm starting off in my dandroom. In the dandroom. I'm starting at the back of my car. It's like, listen, I've paid my dues. So
right.
I went out and chose a partner who can invest in the business, but we operate completely different. But you know, Grant, maybe let's go back to how did I end up doing this?
This
is where I started, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to be on the client side. Guess what I used to do? You know what I used to do? My first real serious job was selling smokes in the back of my car for BAT.
That, get out of here.
I promise you.
Get out of here.
So
you did actually start in the back of your car then? You did that?
Nice. That's where I started off, in the northwest area, selling smokes.
Wow.
Getting some Stuyvesant.
Wait, one of those promo guys that today,
no.
Are the guys who are in clubs picking up girls.
Two big difference. There is a there was a sales rep and a promo rep. Now, you start off with a sales rep. You sell.
Yeah.
Man, you get, at the time I had a Stasiva Cressida.
That's right.
So I used to
Stasiva. That's station wagon for you millennials.
That's it. Station wagon Cressida. And I used to load up the cigarettes and go to the rural areas of Northwest and sell it. And for me, that experience, Grant, that beats any other qualification you can get.
At any
school, because I think looking at a retailer and selling them something, that's the ultimate. Yeah. So then I graduated to what you are talking about.
Yeah.
Being a promotional rep.
That's
now,
right.
Being a promotional.
They give you a car.
No. Listen, I still had a Stasiva in a sales rep.
Yeah.
But the difference about being a promotional rep, every brand had its own car. Now guess what my car was?
Yeah.
A Chef Camaro.
Hello.
A Chef Camaro 5.7.
Hello. You guys know what this guy's talking about, right?
I know.
Look at Big Pimping your car.
There was Pimping. You're absolutely right. That's it. And it was a cool job because, I mean, listen to this. You get given a Chef Camaro left and drive, no how. You get given money to throw parties.
That's insane.
You get given smokes to dish out. I mean,
yes, yes.
That's
but,
it.
But I haven't. I mean, I know a lot of guys out there who are thinking, why didn't I know you then?
And listen, and the difference at the time as well, I could come to like Cliff Central office and said, can you please show me where all the cigarettes, all the smokers are?
Yeah.
And dish out the smokes.
That's insane.
So I could go to an office, and that was my job.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole point was to convert smokers from another brand to the brand that I was representing.
And non-smokers into smokers.
No, the non-smoking thing.
There are words. There are a lot of words for people who do stuff like that out there.
So anyway, going back. So after I did that, then I my first foray into consulting was joining a company that used to do exactly as I'm doing. So it was not advertising.
Right.
I started off doing an insight and marketing strategy consulting. So I worked for that. And from then on, then I was recruited to Lowe.
Aha.
That's how I came to advertising and from a communication threat perspective. And I ended up.
But who does that? Who does that, Brian? Like, I mean, everyone knows that advertising people don't earn shit. Right? So who does that? Why would you jump from that place? Right?
Curiosity and stupidity.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So obviously not the cash then.
No, it wasn't the cash. But you know what? I mean, I still even remember the consulting firm that I joined after BAT. Remember, in BAT, man, my career was set up.
BAT is British American Tobacco,
British
right?
American Tobacco, that's man. Right. My career was set up. When I joined this consulting firm, I took about a 40% salary cut.
Wow.
Took about a 40% salary cut and I moved down to Cape Town. Now, as you can imagine, this combination is not cool.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
That's not as smart.
And Cape Town don't work.
And Cape Town don't work at all. But the reason that I did that was there was some skill that I wanted to get from this firm.
Okay.
So it was like sort of an investment. And for me, I mentor a lot of youngsters. And that's one thing that I cannot overemphasize enough about be willing to put in. Be willing to make in that investment.
That's what's up.
And that's
man, I appreciate that a lot.
I promise you, and I will absolutely direct it also to the brother and the sisters. It's like black people, and the learning will come with the pain sometimes.
Yeah.
And in learning, you might even work with some people you don't like. And in learning, you might come with people who know they've got a better agenda. Man, you've got to put it in there and learn and get the pain.
Right.
And people are asking me now, people that I'm mentoring, how did you get here? Well, they're also assuming that I'm there and I'm not there yet. But that's besides the point. The point is, like, in terms of reputation-wise, to say, how did you? I said, like, I invested time and money. So when I joined that consulting firm, 35% salary cut in Cape Town. So for about 4 years.
Wow.
Dude, there was some time I didn't have cash for bread.
Wow. That bread is overrated. Come and listen,
I had left that for a corporate gig where my career path was sorted out.
Sure.
But I knew, and also importantly, it was because of my wife who said, you know what, let's rather suffer. But I thought when I got married, I got married to a person who knows what they want, and you cannot make decisions based on the cash.
Yeah.
We will suffer, but get the skill. And I got the skill. From there, I went into advertising. Yeah. Then I left.
You know, guys, I mean, I think if there's anything to take out from what Brian is saying right now, is that get married, guys. You know, let's get married, you know, so we can have people by our side who can tell us that it's fine. Don't worry about the money. No, but very honest, very serious note though.
Yeah.
I mean, I joked earlier and said that, you know, why make a leap like that because of the cash?
Yeah.
But I understand the value of making a call that is not necessarily going to yield money immediately.
Absolutely.
Because of the amount of learning that you actually have to do up front in order to almost arrive prepared for when the money arrives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Take some step backwards to go forward. It's as simple as that. Not complicated.
Yeah. So you say you went to Lowe, and then how long did you spend at Lowe?
Oh, at Lowe, I joined in strategy and ended up for all my sins as an MD. Now I was getting all adult. I became an MD of Lowe. And then, so I was there in total for about 4 years. And then I left and joined Yellowed, which is exactly the thing that I'm doing now.
Ah.
So as you can see, so
I
went back.
In and out.
Exactly. So I was doing this advertising strategy. So I was at Yellowed for about 4 years. And then I joined, I ended up going back to advertising at Hunt.
Isn't Yellowed the place that is run by the other guy who has another advertising show on another station?
Andy, exactly.
Yeah, that guy.
Yes, he was the founder of Yellowed, and Yellow Wood is, I mean, it's like an insight and marketing straight company like right. we are now.
Yeah.
So I was there for about 3 years. And then I went back to advertising at Hans. And that's where we had, which if you do not behave, I will tell everyone about how you let me down.
Okay.
When I was at Hans as well.
Okay.
When I was trying
okay.
to chat to you and you used me, you hustled. But anyway, if you behave, I won't share it with anyone.
Okay, guys, I mean this show is going very well up until now. let us carry on according to plan. But you know, it makes I'm a private. So you know, I mean, I think hold on.
Seeing a black man blush. Seeing a black man blush is a sad
I mean,
sight, man.
You know, this is the second time in 2 weeks it's happening to me. Last week when you were sitting, so was a lady from the Vagina Varsity. That was the first time I blushed on this show.
Seeing a black man blush. That is so funny.
So two things make me blush. Conversations about the past and vaginas. So I think you know what's amazing. It's also like the train that I'm picking up well from you is that, you know, you were spending 3 years at a place and 4 years at a place.
Yeah.
You know, almost like you knew when your journey with a place was done and then you needed to go somewhere else. And it makes people like me sound crazy because,
yeah.
I mean, I was at FCB for 11 years.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a crazy thing. It's unheard of for anybody to kind of go in and do something like that. Do you think that is a better way to do it?
No.
The moving around part? Because creatives do that a lot.
Grant, absolutely no. This is simple. It does not necessarily mean you can only learn new things from new places. If you were at FCB and your roles and things were changing and you were learning, why move? So it's not that. I mean, you can jump all over the place and learn nothing.
I love how you answered your own question. Why move? You know, the thing you said I did. The thing you said I did.
Yes.
When you were at Hans.
Yes.
Why move?
Yes.
Why would I move?
Listen. Okay. Now I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway, what I was saying is, it's less about the movement, but it's less about at any given time. And nobody can tell you that. Your mentor cannot tell you.
Yeah, that's right.
Your partner cannot tell me. You'll know the truth about, am I growing? Am I learning anything in this place or not?
Yeah.
No one can tell
that's
you that.
That's right.
But the other thing as well, you know, it's amazing that you say that because most of the people that I mentor, they always assume that, wow, it's amazing. When I look at your career, it's like it's well planned.
Yeah.
Started from client, went to strategy, advertising strategy, perfect. I said, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. It wasn't like I had a 12-year, 10-year mapped out. Absolutely not. It was about being honest with myself. And being honest with myself, that's one of the toughest things to do. Being honest to say, should I be here or should I move on?
That's
and
right.
Over and above that, I'm going to say something that is a bit strange as well.
Yeah? Get in there.
Over and above that,
yeah.
When they ask me every time, so but how did you know where to do? I said, it is about doing my best and getting the men upstairs do the best.
Oh,
the rest.
I'm a fan of that.
Man, that's
I'm
what it comes down to. And
yeah.
I know, but if I have to say, it had to do with prayer as well. It sounds a bit weird.
No, but, it's not weird at all.
But I can tell you, it was like, I've done my best and I see the things the way they are. But hey, I look upstairs, I said, like, you tell me, you do the final.
No. I appreciate that a lot. And don't get me wrong, it's not weird at all. See, because also I think we all, being in the industry that we're in, it doesn't really matter what kind of divine power you think you believe in, or whether you believe in energies or whatever. There are things that we've all done in our careers, and you're kind of going, I know, but at some point, this wasn't me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Also, like just, there are people who've been trying to unearth or uncover where do they think ideas come from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we all know that it's a combination of a lot of things, but then there's also a combination of things that we can't explain.
Absolutely.
So don't you even feel weird about
okay,
that.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah, it's everything is allowed here. This is Cliff Central. It's unradio, unscripted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, considering the kind of swear words you've been using, I was wondering.
No.
Remember. remember.
Half a century.
I'm half a century, man. I always try to remind this.
But it's amazing, though. It's amazing, Brian, because just before the show, Pumi and myself and you were having a conversation about how young you're looking, man. What's going on? Is this the comrade diet?
Whatever you want, Garant, the answer is no. If you are trying to butter me up for something, the answer is no. I'm not going to buy into that. And my age flattery doesn't work anymore, bro.
That is dope. It's really cool. Listen, y'all, we know what we're going to do, Brian. We're going to go, we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
I'm going to play an ad because Gareth dictates that I have to. And then after that, I'm going to play a very short song. And then when we come back, we're going to get into that thing that you thought I was going to lead with. You know, the transformation conversation.
Exactly.
We're going to get into
absolutely,
it. And you know what? I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, hearing your opinion on a lot of these things.
Absolutely.
So it's still your man, G-Man, the ad man. We're out here on Cliff Central. And hit me up on @Blaxim, @BLAXEM or @CliffCentral on Twitter with your questions or your comments for Braivan, whether it's about, you know, does he still have connections at British or American Tobacco? You know, can he still hook you up with some smokes? You know what I mean? And even with the transformation conversation that we're going to be having, what are your thoughts? What it is that you think you want to know from him? Hit me up right now. It's apparently I'm not supposed to say time codes because it's also a podcast, but it's 11:30 and we're about to go on a little break. See you on the other side of this. Boom.
Choice. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That wonderful sounds of, I don't know why I keep channeling Eddie's one every time I go, those are the wonderful sounds of TKZ. Yeah, that's TKZ, and I'm still hanging out with your boy. You're still hanging out with your boy, G-Man, the ad man, and I'm here with Braivan Mroke. We're just having a fantastic chat off air. Some of the stuff I can tell you, some of the stuff I can't. But yeah, I mean, we're still hanging out and we're having a fantastic chat. He was telling us about his journey, how he arrived where he's at. And I mean, I've got one or two tweets from the first half of the show. Of course, he tweeted me with a whole bunch of fire icons saying, what a way to start the show. See, I told you, Brian, everybody loves that song. The wedding song. Everyone loves the wedding song. So, Kosi's saying, shout out, Kosi. That's dope. The other thing I forgot to mention to you guys, though. Whoa, I can't believe I forgot to mention this big thing. I'm going to be judging the Sekai Awards in Botswana. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I mean, Botswana massive. You guys know how much I love coming out there. So yeah, man, I'm excited as fuck to come out there once again and come tear it up. Follow them on Twitter. Follow some of the guys. I know Tumisang also just hit me up. Follow the guys on Twitter. Find out what's going on in Botswana. I think we have a lot to be excited about from that side. Our neighbors are doing some really, really dope shit and in industry that's growing by the day. So I'm really, really excited to go out there. You want to follow me when I'm out there. You want to follow the guys when I'm out there. You want to follow the Sekai Awards because there's some fire coming out of Botswana that you want to be a part of. So that's dope. I'm excited about that. I mean, I score a free plane ticket to Botswana. That's dope shit. And I go get to see my peeps. So that's fantastic. But yeah, let's get back into it. Braivan. So, I mean, before the show as well, we were hanging out out there and you were talking about, you know, some forums that had been set up before.
Yeah.
And how you said, you know what? I feel like we need to start changing kind of our angle in on this transformation conversation.
Yeah.
Just elaborate on that. Elaborate to people who weren't privy to our conversation earlier. What did you mean by that?
Well, as you know, I've been quite vocal in terms of the industry and the transformation issue on different platforms, to the extent that even about 2 years ago, I used to be a chairperson of a industry association called Brand Council South Africa. And
when
we set up, it's 20 years and nothing has moved. And I got agencies on board and we had this panel discussion. Subsequent to that, I told people in media who used to, every time they want the sound bias about transformation, they'll call me. I said, no more.
Yeah.
I'm no more going to be doing interviews or saying anything about transformation.
Right.
I'm tired, because it's always coming from the angry black person.
Yes.
I said no more. And then just 3 weeks ago, I was back, set up another panel through BCSA.
Yeah.
Where we were talking about transformation. What was different about that?
Yeah.
I said the angle you are talking about. Now let's stop talking about why the agencies are not transforming.
Right.
Can we start talking to the people who are the gatekeepers? The people who are making the calls? Let's start talking to the clients. So we had this conference where we put the clients, CMOs of leading companies. I mean, we had someone from SABC, from APSA, and from Vodacom. Put them on
like
the
an
hotspot.
Important conversation.
It was an important conversation, because people keep on talking about why the black agencies are not growing, why the old agencies are not transforming. But we keep on not asking the people who've got the power to change. Who've got the power to force them to do it?
Yeah.
So I think now I've agreed that I'm going to go back in terms of being active in the conversation, but look at it from that angle, from clients. Let's engage with clients.
Yeah.
What is the problem? Yes, there might be things like capacity, this and that, but can we just break it down and be honest with ourselves? What are the issues are?
And what was your sense? What was your sense from engaging with the clients that you've spoken to already? Like, that, do you feel like there's They feel the urgency that we feel?
They feel the urgency. I think for me, the most touching one was from the CMO, I mean, the marketing head of Vodacom, Mzamo Masito.
Shout out, Mzamo Masito. What's going on?
Mzamo was so honest. Mzamo was so honest when he said, I realize I'm part of the problem.
Wow.
I'm part of the problem and I've not pushed it enough. There are some things that are beyond my control, especially being with multinationals. But he was saying, I absolutely agree. I could have done more. I didn't. And funny enough, he said, the fees must fall thing that is happening. And he said a stark warning to the industry. Do you see this impatience that is happening with the fees must fall?
It's
going to hit us in a very hectic way if we do not. We keep on having these talk shops and nothing happening.
Yeah.
We have to absolutely answer. What is even more important, and I know it might sound a bit controversial.
Yeah.
People have asked me before to say, like, but we are seeing on the client side, there's a lot of transformation in terms of black folks who are coming and being in those positions. Yeah. And I said, it's simple.
Yeah.
When a black person who can make that call is not making the call, it's one or two things. Either they don't have the will or they don't have the power.
Wow.
As simple as that. I don't have the will or the power or neither.
Yeah.
And if you only have one of them, it doesn't work. If you've got the power but not the will, you won't change it, right?
That's right. That's right.
But if you've got the will and not the power, it's the same thing.
Yeah, because you're not actually empowered to actually make any real call.
Exactly. There's the real reason. So this transformation that might be happening on the client side, it's like, do they have the power and the will to do it?
Now I'm going to turn that around onto leadership in agencies, because agencies have done the exact same thing. Agencies have placed a lot of black people in leadership positions. And do you feel like that's the same problem, where there might be people in leadership in black agencies with neither the will nor the power?
Absolutely. 100%. I think the few agencies which, I mean, I can see that they are transforming. You can see that the buy-in is not just from that leader.
Yeah.
The buy-in is from the leader, the CEO, the chairman, and the board.
That's right.
If in an agency you don't have that buy-in from the top and it's part of your KPI, being that agency leader, then it won't change, because then you're going to be just a face.
Yeah.
You're just going to be a face, because it's not part of your KPI. When your chairperson doesn't come to you to say, like, what's happening with transformation?
Yeah.
Where is a side conversation? Nothing's going to change.
And wow, that is that. Whoa, yeah, that blows my mind, because I mean, there's something that a lot of us have always speculated is the case.
Absolutely.
When it comes to agencies, but how, just from your experience and your conversations that you've had with people in the industry, how many of those, in a percentage wise, you think, just gives us a ballpark figure, how many of the agencies do you think have a genuine agenda of transformation, and how many do you think are doing enough just to get to the 2018 place that we're all supposed to be going to?
Being generous,
yeah,
I would say 20%.
Wow.
Being generous. And that's why there's an initiative that I'm also involved with the ACA in terms of, you know, instead of complaining, there are some sessions that we are doing with agency leaders in private, but trying to break down the reasons.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way for you. One time I had a conversation with an ECD who will remain nameless.
Sharp.
When I was in advertising still. And, you know, he said to me something, and when you are saying it, because I like him as a person and he's quite an honest guy.
Yeah.
And when I was explaining about why there is so few black people in creative.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he broke it down to me, and what I said is like, you could hear he was not being malicious. He actually believed what you were saying. He said, you know, I think different races are gifted in different ways. He said, you know, if you look at...
You have got to be kidding me.
I'm telling you. And he said, when you look at runners, long distance runners, we are not complaining to say like, why are they from Kenya? Why are they from there? So black people might be good in even careers like the humanities and all the stuff. And then I think might not be so creative, and white people are gifted in that way. Now,
wow,
this was a senior creative person who was, as I said, was not saying it malicious.
You could see that he's genuine.
He was actually believing in this. And I've said it before on different platforms. The reasons why things are not transforming, it might be from misunderstanding to pure racism and everything in between. But until we have, instead of having separate conversations at different Bryce,
it's
not going to help black folks talking at Bryce and complaining and lamenting, and the white folks
having their Bryce.
I am encouraging stop the side conversation, the dinner table conversations, and let's have a round table and break it down in terms of even experiences of people who have tried to do this. Because remember as well about transformation, black people can let you down as well.
I hear you.
I've been in a situation where I've stuck out my neck.
Yeah.
And I've made noise about like, I will only use black suppliers and all this stuff and let us down. The downside about it though, what is different is when a black person fails, why does it have to be all black people?
Yeah. No. But that is to kind of use your words. But that is the branding that I think white advertising has gotten right.
Yeah.
They've somehow gotten it right that when a white organization fucks up, it's them.
Mm.
It's just that organization.
Absolutely.
But when one black guy fucks up, it's guys. There we go again. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know about these orcs.
Yeah. But Grant, you know, these are the kind of conversations that they must be set in forums.
Yeah.
Eye to eye.
Yeah.
If you are not prepared to engage in those forums, then you must explain why. Because for all I care, I'm as interested to find out from clients why they're not doing it. I'm also interested.
Completely. Yeah? We'd love to know.
I'm interested from even white agencies who are not transforming, why they're not. I mean, for what I know, I mean, they might be having some valid reasons that we don't get access to because you are having a separate conversation.
Yeah. You know, that's very interesting that you say that, because I had a conversation once with somebody about that, and they were explaining to me the dynamics exactly like you're saying. Like some of it might seem like it's not coming from a malicious place at all, but it comes from somebody not understanding. I've built this thing.
Yeah.
I one day woke up and I built this thing.
Exactly.
And now you're saying that I must go and find some guy and give him a piece of it.
Exactly.
You know, and you know what I mean? So to some people, that is the rationale they have in their heads. And you know, obviously, you know, not understanding everything that lives around that. It's another silo.
You make a very good point, because this initiative that I was telling you about, those conversations came out where you absolutely have somebody to say, you know, I've put skin in the game. I have mortgaged my house. I've done this, I've done that in terms of building this. And this was like a legacy for my family.
Mm.
Why on earth should I give it up? Now, if you look at it from a myopic perspective, they've got a view. But then you've got to explain to them the bigger
how they
picture
arrived there.
About white privilege,
exactly.
About access and all
exactly.
that stuff. But those conversations cannot be had in a forum where everybody's trying to score points.
Yeah.
It's like, let's have honest conversations. Only then can we get a solution.
Yeah.
Like, it's like what you're saying regarding, there's an article that I'm going to be writing about the challenges that are happening inside agencies about transformation in creative. So I'll give you a sneak preview about it. Like, one of the big things that I know, lots of senior white creatives, they are stuck in a situation to say, how do I deal with trying to push somebody's idea and they cry racism? To what extent do I continue
to
hammering
in,
this for their own good? And then it's going to be like, you are racist. I mean, yeah. do you know what I mean?
And I do know what you mean. And having been in situations where having been in a creative studio or two, I think it's a very fine line.
Yeah.
It is a very fine line. And you know what? It is also a result of its own doing.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that pretty much most black creatives in this country have to go and get the idea past a white
exactly
ECD, right
exactly
and what happens then is that you can and you know what, I'm not saying it's always the case. Yeah. I'm not saying it's always the guy who's the creative is always right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you watch situations and you go, this guy has stopped understanding this idea.
Yeah.
Because of his own doing. You know what I mean? Because he just doesn't understand. You know what I mean?
On that point, here is the way that I've got for white ECDs. If a white ECD had to get a gig overseas, let's say in China,
yeah,
what would be the first thing that they do? They'll make sure they immerse themselves in the culture and all the stuff, right?
If you
look in this country,
you speak my language.
What is amazing in this country? What is amazing in this country is even being made simple.
Yeah.
You look at the programs on TV, the subtitles.
Yeah.
You look,
everywhere.
Everywhere. You look at stations that are targeted to that market. It's in English.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have to make the effort that you might have to do with Mandarin if you had to get a gig in China.
That's right.
So it's actually That's also right. to your point to say, yeah. you cannot say your ignorance,
yeah.
your ignorance stop being able to push back
yeah.
at a black creative with an idea to say like, yeah. it's an inside, but it's first base, let's yeah. go. What do? They take the easy route out. Well, I suppose you understand it. Yeah. I don't care what is happening. Yeah. And sometimes you get even the black creative, even the black creative sometimes taking advantage of that.
It backfires.
Okay. So if I just come with some black stump toe insides, that's why
it won't be able. Well, he'll say,
"Oh, you get it. You're okay. Okay, I can knock off at 5 o'clock."
Yeah, but I'll tell you where that comes from, Brian. Yeah. It comes from the fact that there's a severe lack of black creative leadership.
Yeah.
Because we all got impatient.
Absolutely.
You know, and what needs to happen as well is that people also need to realize that the model of leading a creative studio has had to change, where you grew up. With this aspiration of thinking that I want to be the sole ECD, I want to be the person who leads. That's fine, that's cool. But you need to understand that the landscape with which you're dealing has changed so much that you might need somebody right next to you who is at the same level of expertise as you in order for you to bring out a creative product that's not going to make people like why
Spot
are black
on.
Think people
Spot on.
Black people always dance in ads.
Yeah,
you know, because to some extent you can't blame that white guy because that's the reference he has.
Exactly.
Antoine.
Exactly. So on both sides, you're absolutely right. There is, I mean, I can find you the culprits on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, Grant, I've always said transformation broadly only works in situation like this. When there's a willing buyer and a willing seller.
That's right.
What it means is the willing buyer being the hungry black kid who wants to put in the effort, but who just want the opportunity. But on the other side, the willing seller being the white creatives with the skill and who wants to offer it to the black kid. If you just own one, it doesn't work.
It's not going
to
work.
It's not going to work. Because if you're a hungry black kid and you get a racist ECD who's supposed to be mentoring you doesn't buy into it's not going to work, or the other way around.
Yeah.
If you've got someone who just says, I'm going to contribute to this country, to this industry, and empower and give this kid some skill, but you've got some lazy, good for nothing black kid who just want things to be given to them on the plate, it's not going to work.
But I mean, I guess that's the nature of these conversations. It feels like we generalize, but that's also how, you know, these conversations
are
gonna, we also know that there are exceptions to the rule, but
absolutely.
I'd love to believe that we all kind of know our part in this conversation, right? Where
Indeed.
Where you fit in as the exception of the rule, and where you kind of, because I also think there's just a blatant fear.
Yeah.
There's a blatant fear of people who are sitting in those positions just going, but then what happens? Does that mean I'm irrelevant now? Does that mean that I've become redundant because I feel like I can only make Eurocentric? And you know what? I think the world has become so, the globalization of ideas has made sure that the whole thing about Eurocentric ideas and American ideas is not a thing anymore. We all watch the same things. But at the same time, you know, I had another interesting chat with Mzi Kumalo, the commercial director.
Yeah.
And he was saying, dude, every day I struggle with when people say, yeah, what can you put like a South African-ness to it? He's like, what the fuck is a South African-ness to it? But it is important. It is important for us to know that the way we communicate to our people is very, very important. And the tone with which we think we want to talk to our people is very important, and how we portray our people helps them. It shines a mirror on people, and that it plays an important role in how they see themselves.
It's huge. It's huge. You know? I think the impact and the power of our industry it is so significant in terms of a country and a society trying to find its own identity.
That's right.
That it cannot be underplayed in terms of how black people are projected and all. Let's not even start about the dancing of the ears for everything.
No, that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's something different. And I think in the article I'm writing, I'm actually trying to make a distinction between a universal idea and a black idea.
That's right.
So I'm going to try to break it down. To
and this article sounds explosive.
No, it's going to be quite interesting. I mean, I might not have many friends with the few that I have from the big mouth. But hey, I think as you're saying about the nice thing about age and growing older.
Yeah, you stop caring.
Yeah. There's at least.
And this show does very well in delivering on that mandate. On the mandate of calling bad friends. This show does very well. We deliver very well on that mandate. Because when you leave that chair, there are people who are going to know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see the ones who have just strange ideas.
Yes.
They're going to just start to go away from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's strange. It's strange when I brought Ivan, because I say this all the time. The hour flies by. We're almost done. We haven't even gotten into everything.
And I was just about to start into have fun on like, this.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, Gareth was here earlier, and I appeal to him every week. You know, we need another hour on this show.
Without doubt.
But I mean, I think this is testament to
absolutely, man. There's still so much to cover.
Yeah.
And well done to you.
Thank you.
I think
so
there's
much.
Some energy and freshness that you are bringing, and I think you hosting this, having been in the trenches, it makes a huge difference.
Thank you so much, Ivan.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I think it's you are an asset to Cliff Central, and I hope they give you that race. Eh?
Thank you, Cliff.
And the hour as an hour and a race, and of course I'll bill you for all this free.
Gareth, let us listen to our elders, please.
So, yes, son. You know what? I can. Growing old, it's amazing how you start off from being called Bra Ivan, then Uncle Ivan, and then now Ntate Ivan.
Yeah.
Now some kid now said elder. My elder said, okay, all right, look, I love my age, dude, but I mean elder, I think that's a bit stretching it a bit too far.
Oh, guys, what an amazing hangout I've had with Bra Ivan out here. I've got a comment here from Luis Otwala. He says, thanks to Ed Plexam and Ivan Morake for speaking so frankly about the low commitment to transformation in Adland. Marketers must come on board. I think that has been pretty much, that sums up everything we've said today.
Yeah.
Marketers need to come on board, but advertising agencies, we all still need to come on board and change this
yep.
situation. But guys, yeah, my hour's almost done. I think that it's really, really important that we have these conversations and keep having these conversations because that's how we're going to fix this thing. I guys, you have to download this podcast, play it around your agency. Sometimes, you know, before the office party, nah, just put it on the intercom. Come on, before the office party, again, we all know that we are in that beautiful time of year end functions. Switch it off. Switch off everything an hour before. Once you've all dressed up with your theme, listen to the podcast an hour before you go out to your party, and because some important conversations were had here that I think people in your agency really, really need to hear. But the hour's almost done. First, one last shout out I have to give to the guys at the brand Mini Cooper for supporting with the party that they had last week at Ndofaya White House. Fantastic stuff that the brand is doing, reaching out into obviously a part of the market that supports them a lot, and appreciating the fact that they go in there and be a part of that market as well. So that's beautiful. But yeah, the hour's done, y'all. It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. Get the podcast. We didn't swear too much. In fact, we didn't swear at all because Brian's here, so you can play it for your mom. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. See you next week. Boom.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.